Blog Talk Radio.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, do ordain and establish this
and
Constitution,
so, my fellow Americans,
the United States of America.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for
this nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom, and the government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
For peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery. Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
From the very heart of the Constitutional Republic of the United States of America, from the soul of the Bellwether State, Missouri Grassroots Radio is live.
August 2nd, 2012. The primary is closing in on us. You're on Missouri Grassroots Radio Network. This is the Voice of Truth. I'm Dave. This is the Thursday night Hour of Truth, and we are going to talk tonight about that thing we've tried to avoid since the horrible occurrence in Aurora, Colorado. We're going to go ahead now and dive on into the Second Amendment issues of gun control. We're going to look at it from both sides. We're going to be fair and we're going to be honest. We're always honest and we're always fair. Right now, though, we're going to take our national minute, as we always do, and we're going to revisit something that we've talked about once or twice, but we're going to revisit it a different way tonight. Here is Barack Obama. Those ads taking my words about small business out of context, they're flat wrong. Of course Americans built their own businesses. Every day, hardworking people sacrifice to meet a payroll, create jobs, and make our economy right. And what I said was we need to stand behind them, as America always has, by investing in education and training, roads and bridges, research and technology. I'm Barack Obama, and I approve this message because I believe we're all in this together. Now, that is totally in context. That's every word of that Obama ad. He starts off by claiming that his words, "you didn't build that," are being taken out of context, and that it's flat wrong to do so. He contends that, of course, Americans built their own businesses. And what he meant was that all of those bridge builders and firefighters is who he was talking to at the time, all those bridge builders and all those space shuttle builders, they need to continue to stand behind American business the way they always have. Well, last time we talked about a different aspect of this, and this time we're simply going to talk about context. Here is what the man said, and this is in context. If you've been successful, you didn't get there on your own. You didn't get there on your own. I'm always struck by people who say, well, it must be because I was just so smart. There are a lot of smart people out there. It must be because I worked harder than everybody else. Let me tell you something. There are a whole bunch of hardworking people out there. If you were successful, somebody along the line gave you some help. There was a great teacher somewhere in your life. Somebody helped to create this unbelievable American system we have that allowed you to thrive. Somebody invested in roads and bridges. If you've got a business, you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen. Now, in context, quite frankly, there is nothing that you can say other than that the president said, if you've got a business, you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen. Now, even some of my friends from the right, from right of me, are contending that what the president really meant, of course, was that you didn't build the bridges and roads. Someone else built the bridges and roads that you didn't teach the classes that you took. Someone else taught the classes that you took. And that you're not there because you're so smart, and you're not there because you worked hard. You're there because of these teachers that someone else bought, because of these roads and bridges that someone else bought. Well, in the first place, that is out of context. But let's go there. I mean, let's just go there. Every American, at least every American sitting in the successful person's classroom, had access to the same teachers. At least every American sitting in the same person's classroom had access to the same roads and bridges. And every American isn't successful. So give me then that it has something to do with the fact that you are smart and hardworking if your business succeeds. You are smart and you are hardworking. So don't give me that some people think I'm just smarter than everybody else, but there's a lot of smart people out there. Well, yeah, there are. They might be smart, but not hardworking. Or they might be hardworking and just not very smart. But if you had access to the same roads and bridges and space shuttles and internet as everybody else, and you succeeded and they didn't, or vice versa, one of you was smarter and harder working than the other. It just is there. Now, but the second more insidious point here is that the president is suggesting that if we give you the context, the wider context that you want to let this fall into, that the president wasn't talking about businesses, that he was talking about roads and bridges when he said, you didn't build that. Well, then the president is dead wrong. If you are successful, if you have built, if you have risked everything you've got and built a business that now employs 3,500 people, all of whom paid taxes, by God, you built those bridges. The president didn't build those bridges. We corporately didn't build those bridges. You built those bridges. Because I work in your factory, and I pay taxes, which means that some of my taxes go to build the bridges, but I wouldn't have any tax to pay if it weren't for you. It is a vicious circle that you can draw here. The entrepreneur uses the roads and bridges. The entrepreneur pays people. The entrepreneur pays taxes, and the people the entrepreneur pays pay taxes, and more roads and bridges get built. But brothers and sisters, if you'll go back to the founding of this great nation, the beginning of that circle is not the government and government largesse. The beginning of that circle, the first dot on the paper before you draw that circle, is the business.
I will be held accountable. I've got 4 years. If I don't have this done in 3 years, then there's going to be a one-term proposition.
Here at Missouri Grassroots Coalition, it's Christmas in July and August and September. Last year on Christmas Eve, MGC paid off the department store layaway accounts of two Missouri families who were not able to provide Christmas for their children. This year, we would like to at least double that number, and in an attempt to do that by the holiday season, we're asking you to consider donating a few dollars toward that effort. We know the holiday season is the most difficult time of year to ask for donations, so we're planning ahead and asking you to give whatever you can so that a few Missouri families will be able to celebrate at Christmas. Go to MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org and look for the Secret Santa page. All the details are there for you to donate by PayPal, check, or money order. Conservatives have proven to be the most generous and most benevolent people in the United States. Please help us with this very small charitable project.
His life so dear, or peace so sweet, as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery. Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
Here we are. We're back. It's the 2nd of August. It's 7:10 p.m. You are 10 minutes into the Hour of Truth on Missouri Grassroots Radio Network, the voice of liberty, and I'm Dave. We come here every Monday and Thursday night, and we talk about, we've been talking for quite a while about candidates. I had advertised that this show and Monday's show were going to be a wrap on that several months now that we've done, where we spent 90 minutes, a long interview with candidates, where we took the candidates, mostly the candidates who I just had a long rant and realized that here in the studio, the microphones were not plugged in. So I'm not going to go back and repeat that rant. I'm sorry. If you tuned in and tuned out, then please tune back in again. We're here. It's Thursday night. This is Missouri Grassroots Radio Network. It is 7:11 p.m. We are 11 minutes into the Hour of Truth. I advertised that tonight's show was going to be a road to the primary show, where I kind of reviewed all of the 90-minute interviews that we'd had with grassroots candidates in the last several months, and went race by race and made my suggestion as to how you should go. And then, you know, I'm sitting there today thinking how much it boils my insides that Sarah Palin or Rush Limbaugh or John Ashcroft or some Right to Life or some NRA or some single issue outfit is trying to tell me who I should vote for. And I thought, how arrogant of me then to come on the radio and try to tell you who to vote for. I've made all of the candidates available to you. We've gone in depth with the candidates. We spent 90 minutes with candidates to get right down below the surface, to get right down to the heart of the candidate, to what they believe in and why, how they came upon those beliefs. And if you didn't get it from that, then me telling you who I'm going to vote for isn't going to make any difference to you. So we're going to change the subject tonight. We're going to visit a very controversial issue. We're going to visit it from the left side and the right side, because both sides have some valid points, and both sides have some political points that aren't really valid. And we're going to visit this objectively. You're not going to hear from me what my opinions are. You're just going to hear a lot of what the facts are. We're going to want to hear from you at 347-677-1835. That's 347-677-1835. We will want to hear from you on this, and we will entertain you left or right. We won't let you have a pulpit and take the show over, but we certainly want to hear from you, and we want to hear your valid arguments for how this thing should go. In the early morning hours of Friday, July the 20th, James Holmes walked into a crowded theater showing a midnight showing of a Batman movie and opened fire. He had three weapons. A semi-automatic and a shotgun and a handgun. And he killed 12 people and injured, last I heard, it was like 51. I don't know. I quit listening to the numbers. It was just so tragic in my mind. The guy was clearly sociopathic. There's going to be a insanity defense mounted, which is almost certainly going to fail miserably. The guy is going to either be killed or incarcerated for the rest of his life. It's a horribly, horribly sad thing. It's a horribly sad thing for the families of the dead and injured. And it is equally horribly sad for the family of James Holmes. And we tend to forget that there are other people who are, and I don't want to use the word victimized, but traumatized through no fault of their own, frequently by what Mr. Holmes has done. But before the first victim is laid to rest, before the first ambulance even gets to the hospital, politicians and hucksters from both sides are already conversing with one another on how to make hay from this tragedy. And that is as horrible. To jump on this issue while the blood is still running in the street is inexcusable in my mind. I came on here the very next night, the very night that it occurred, after it occurred, and I said, I'm going to have something to say about this, but let's bury our dead, let's tend to our sick, let's see about healing, let's remember the victims and the traumatized, and then when we have the pain a little bit behind us, then we'll come back and we'll talk about whether or not this incident should give us more room to debate the issue of gun control or no gun control. The history of gun control is interesting. There is an argument. What the Second Amendment says is not up for debate. The Second Amendment says that every American, it doesn't even give in every American a right. It says that Congress cannot infringe upon any American's right to bear arms. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of the free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. So, at the federal level, the Constitution of the United States specifically says that the federal Congress can do nothing to infringe your, and I quote here, right to bear arms. Now, that's what the Constitution says. There's no arguing about it. There's no equivocating it. There's no further discussion needed. That's what the Constitution says. Where some discussion can enter into this is, and it does every day, does the constitutional prohibition of any infringement on the right of citizens to bear arms extend to the state governments as well? Well, now the simple answer is no. And it's not only the simple answer, but it's the true answer. It is the answer that the founders had in mind when they wrote the Constitution, and it is the answer that the founders had in mind when they penned the first 10 amendments to the Constitution, and it is the answer that the states had in mind when they ratified both the Constitution and the 10 amendments. And the reason we know that is because the Constitution served one purpose and one purpose alone, and that was to define the federal government, to define and enumerate its powers, and to limit that government. All other power belongs to the state. So at the state level, you can establish a religion. At the state level, this is the argument about abortion. This is the argument about marriage. This is the argument about everything. The federal government has no business in this. The federal government, the Congress of the United States, cannot make gun control laws constitutionally. The states can. Now, at some point, this freedom from prohibition in the Second Amendment of the Constitution of the United States got expanded so that it covered the states as well. Does anyone have any idea where that first expansion was? The first expansion, folks, wasn't the Supreme Court of the United States. The first expansion was the Supreme Court of the state of Georgia, who gave up their state sovereignty by saying that the Second Amendment of the United States Constitution applied to the government of the state of Georgia. Look it up. A fellow, and I've forgotten the exact case, but a fellow in Georgia was arrested because he had a sword in his cane. If anybody knows the exact case, give us a call and talk to us about it. Had a sword inside his cane. So his walking cane had a knife inside of it. And he got arrested, and he argued all the way to the Georgia State Supreme Court that the state of Georgia could not infringe on his right to carry that knife. Now, the Georgia Constitution at the time did nothing to protect a person's right to bear arms. There was not a word in the Georgia Constitution at the time about a person's right to bear arms. There were no laws in the state of Georgia against such bearing. I don't know that to be a fact. There were no laws in this particular jurisdiction against that bearing, but he had been arrested because he was dangerous to society by walking around with his knife in his cane. The Georgia State Supreme Court said, no. The state of Georgia cannot do anything to infringe upon this man's right to carry a knife in his cane because the Second Amendment of the United States Constitution says they can't. Well, that's water under the bridge. The fact is the United States Constitution did not say they can't, but that precedent is there. It is water under the bridge. And so we get to the point where we are today, where some states even in violation of their own constitutions, do in fact restrict firearms. Restrict the use of firearms, restrict the possession of firearms. And I'm going to say restrict the sale of firearms, but backing up now, reread, close your eyes if you don't have it in front of you and remember. If you have it in front of you, reread the Second Amendment to the United States Constitution, and you do not see that the federal government cannot do things to restrict the sale of firearms. In fact, even under the original intent of the Interstate Commerce Clause, it's entirely likely that the Congress can regulate the sale of firearms. But let's get away from Georgia, because this is the Missouri Grassroots Radio Network, and let's go to Section 23 of Article 1 of the Missouri State Constitution, which says, "The right of every citizen to keep and bear arms in defense of his home, person, and property, or when lawfully summoned in aid of the civil power, shall not be questioned. But this shall not justify the wearing of concealed weapons." So the Constitution of the United States protects, or of the state of Missouri, protects the bearing of arms. Now, let's see what it says here. Let's read this one more time. "To keep and bear arms in defense of his home, person, and property, but this shall not justify the wearing of concealed weapons." Now, understand that the Constitution does not prohibit the wearing of concealed weapons, and hence we can have a law on the books now in the state of Missouri that allows that, because the Constitution does prohibit it. It just says that this section doesn't open that door. It does, though, shut the door fast on the ability of the state of Missouri to restrict the possession or use of firearms by its individual citizens. So if you are a citizen of the state of Missouri, you are protected from the United States Congress by the Second Amendment of the Constitution, and you are protected by Article 23 of Section 1 of the Missouri Constitution from the state of Missouri doing anything to get in your way of carrying and possessing firearms. So along comes this guy with a semi-automatic rifle, a handgun, and a sawed-off shotgun, and he shoots up a movie theater with people in it, and that leaves us all saying, what in the world are we going to do about this? And that leaves us with a scan of people on both sides capitalizing on this thing by saying, it is incredibly horrible what you people over there on the other side are trying to do. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk about the arguments that people use to control guns. And they're right. They're right. So this is going to be controversial for some of you folks, and some of you folks are not going to agree with the truth here because you don't want to open your eyes to the truth here. But the fact of the matter is, it is a truth, and you're going to have to deal with it. If you want to argue about it, call 347-677-1835, 347-677-1835. This is the Hour of Truth on Missouri Grassroots Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Hey, free market capitalist Missouri business owners, show Missouri and the rest of the country what hardworking, successful entrepreneurship looks like by advertising your business on Missouri Grassroots Radio. Get your message out to liberty-loving citizens who want to support liberty-loving capitalists. Target this unique and widespread market with your business's unique and valuable products and services. Contact us at info@missourigrassrootscoalition.org for details.
Jobs, taxes, traditional family values, education, protecting the unborn, Second Amendment, tort reform. These are the issues facing Missourians today. Hi, I'm Terry Barner. As your next state senator, I will continue to work to change government by preserving our liberties, reining in wasteful spending, and making the state of Missouri responsive to its citizens. I am a pro-life constitutionalist who believes our state and federal constitution are there for our protection from overreaching government. I firmly believe that only by ignoring those documents has the government at all levels been able to trample on the liberty of its people. I would appreciate your vote this August 7th. I'm Terry Barner, and I approve this message.
And the government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
Okay, we're going to get a little dicey now on the Voice of Liberty, Missouri Grassroots Radio Network. This is the Monday night hour of the Thursday night hour of truth, and I'm Dave. We're going to talk about gun control from the left. 347-677-1835, 347-677-1835. Give us a call and get in on this. Okay, so here we are. We've established that the Constitution absolutely says that every American citizen has a right to bear arms that cannot be infringed on by the Congress of the United States federal government. And we've established that at least every citizen of Missouri has that right protected from infringement by the state of Missouri. So we come down to the argument that something has to be done to control guns. We can't just have all these guns running around. We can't just have all this weaponry walking up and down the street. We can't just have all these sawed-off shotguns and weapons that are capable of firing 50 rounds a second walking around in Walmart. So what is invalid about that argument? Well, there's nothing invalid about it. The fact of the matter is we can't have it. The fact of the matter is somewhere we've got to say this is the line. This is the line of what you can have. Now let's take the Second Amendment of the Constitution in some context here. Everybody's been talking about context here the last couple of weeks. So let's take the Second Amendment of the Constitution of the United States and Article or Section 23 of Article 1 of the Missouri State Constitution, both which say the same thing, in some context here. The founders and the founders of both the federal government of the United States of America and of the state of Missouri felt like their citizens needed to be able to maintain a method of self-defense, to maintain the ability to ensure civil society within their communities and within their nation, maintain the right to defend their community from assault or from to defend their government from insurrection, and to defend themselves against the government. And those of you on the left who want to argue that any of those points were not valid points clearly stipulated as reasons for arming, for keeping the citizenry armed by the founders of both the United States government and the government of the state of Missouri, then you need to go study, because all of those points were salient to the federal and the state constitution asserting that the government cannot infringe upon your ability to bear arms. But taking that very phrase in the context of what was going on, your choice in colonial America was whether or not to have a bayonet on the end of your single-shot musket, and whether or not to have your duel with black powder pistols or swords. It was just that simple. No one envisioned, and it's true, don't try to argue this point with me, no one then envisioned a gun that you could point out the window of a car as you drove down the street and kill 14, 18, 30 people in a half a block as you sped by at 60 miles an hour. That was not envisioned, and such a weapon would not have been something that the Founding Fathers wanted running the streets of West Medford, Massachusetts. So then the point becomes, where do you draw that line? And at that point, you have to ask yourself, what's necessary for the five salient points that the founders wanted to be sure and protect? Well, I don't know. Now, if you want to stretch this to the point that one of the things that you need to protect yourself from your own government or from tyranny is a tit for tit and tat for tat, then by all means, every citizen has a right to napalm. Every citizen has a right to a 50 cal. Every citizen has a right to a Sherman tank. For that matter, every citizen has a right to an F-16. And all of those things, brothers and sisters, are encompassed within the vaguest definition possible of the vaguest phrase possible, the right to bear arms. It doesn't say in either of these constitutions what that is. And so a right to bear arms. Now, if you're familiar at all with Boston in the 1770s, 1780s, it was not uncommon. And when I say not uncommon, I mean not uncommon to have a cannon in the front yard. If you go to Boston today, you will find houses that still have cannons in the front yard. I don't know if the cannons work or not. Probably in Boston, they're not allowed to work. So they didn't do anything at that day to try to restrict what these arms were. But even a cannon in the 1770s and 1780s was not capable of the kind of mass destruction that weaponry is now. So if you take the phrase right to bear arms and translate it to 2012, you've got a real problem unless you define again what those arms are. Now, you might want to say a handgun smaller than Excalibur that can't shoot more than Y number of rounds per minute. You might say a rifle smaller than Excalibur that can't shoot more than Y rounds a minute. You might say, but you've got to say something, because you can't let me build an atomic bomb in my basement. So my question to you folks on the right from this leftist argument is, where are you going to draw the line? If you come to me from the right and you say to me with a straight face, well, sure, I think you have a right to build an atomic bomb in your basement. Sure, I think you have a right to drive a Sherman tank down the street. Sure, I think you have a right to walk down the street with a flak jacket on with hand grenades hanging from it. If you can come to me with a straight face and say that you think I maintain those rights, regardless of whether or not I'm a mental case, regardless of whether or not I have past felonies, regardless of anything, because you believe that the Second Amendment of the Constitution of the United States and Section 23 of Article 1 of the Constitution of the State of Missouri say, without qualification, without any qualification at all, that a citizen of the State of Missouri, as a citizen of the United States of America, has a right to, quote unquote, bear arms. If you are willing to come to me with that phrase, with that section, with that amendment, and say, yes, Dave, regardless of any qualifications, you have an unqualified right to bear arms. You have a right to an atomic bomb in your basement. You have a right to a Sherman tank. You have a right to a 50 cal in your front yard. You have a right to all the hand grenades you can hang on your vest. You have a right to all of those things. If you can come to me with a straight face and sound mind and say that to me, then I will back off. And I will say, for you, the Second Amendment applies. Everyone can have everything. But if you come to me, and I want to tell you, I've interviewed a lot of constitutional conservative, quote unquote, candidates in the last 3 months. 3.5 months, 90 minutes of whack, and I've asked every one of them this question. Can I walk down the street with hand grenades hanging from my vest? Can I build an atomic bomb in my basement? Can I have a 50 cal in my front yard? And the answer was always, with one exception, the answer was always no. So you on the right, you are telling me that only you get to decide where the line is. And for that matter, you want to just kind of leave that willy-nilly, depending on which particular politician you're talking to on which particular day. But there has to be a line, most of you are willing to say, and you alone get to decide where that line is. Because you can't let the left decide where the line is, because they don't want any guns at all, do they? Well, you know, I have friends on the left who hunt. I have friends on the left who have guns in their house to protect their family. I have friends on the left who have concealed carry permits. So you can't just say the people on the left don't want any guns at all. What you can say, and what I can say about all of those friends of mine on the left who have all of the NRA endorsements that you have, what I can say about them is that they agree with you that a line needs to be drawn somewhere. And so it really is time for you folks on the right to come to the table with the folks on the left and get together on where this line is going to be drawn and how you're going to define what is, and we're not, you know, the trick here is that we are not going to do anything to infringe anyone's right to bear arms. All we're going to do is define the arms. Define the arms, and then we're right back to where we started. Everyone in the country, regardless of anything, has the right to bear arms. Just define what the arms are. Come to some agreement on what this thing is that everybody has a right to do. That's where we are in getting the left and the right together on how this thing ought to be done. Now, we're going to come back and we're going to talk about how to get the right, and we've got the left and the right together. Now we're going to come back and we're going to talk about how to get the right and the left together.
Okay, Missouri Patriots, I don't have to remind you that our ancestors fought and died for our right to exercise our voices and shape government in the interests of the people. And yet, in most elections, less than 20% of the population bothers to vote. Gas prices are outrageous, the economy is a disaster, and we are being regulated to death. Bad government and weak leadership are destroying the American way of life on a national and state level, and it's time to send a message to Washington, D.C. and Jefferson City and tell them we have had enough. If you're not registered to vote, the deadline to be eligible to vote in the August primary is July 11th and October 10th for the general election in November. The Patriot Revolution begins in 2012, and it happens at the polls. Vote in the August primary and the November general election and bring a friend. The Constitutional Republic depends on it. I've got a feeling that the
night is turning. Is life so dear, or peace so sweet, as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God! I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty, or give me death.
347-677-1835, if you want to weigh in on this gun control thing. Okay, so, we've established that the Second Amendment gives everyone the right to keep and bear arms, and that Section 23 of Article 1 of the Missouri State Constitution duplicates that, so every Missouri citizen has the right to keep and bear arms. And we've also established that with one or two exceptions of people who are probably clinically insane, everyone agrees that somewhere a line needs to be drawn as to what should and should not be allowed. Now, on the right, we have a group of people who say rightly, that the United States Constitution and the Constitution of the State of Missouri are there for valid reasons. And they're right. We've reviewed those valid reasons. And who say that any attempt by the government, the law enforcement arm of government, the executive branch or the legislative branch for that matter, arms of government, any attempt by them to come and take their guns is wrong, is unconstitutional. It's unscriptural, so to speak. It is heinous in its intent and in its execution. And they're right. They're right. So you folks on the left, listen up now. The fact of the matter is that the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of Missouri say that you can do nothing. Nothing. To interfere with my right to keep and bear arms. You can do nothing to interfere with my right to hand grenades. You can do nothing to interfere with my right to atomic bombs. You can do nothing to interfere with my right to a 50 cal sitting in my front yard. You can do nothing to interfere with my right of for that matter, walking into a movie theater with three military weapons in my possession. You can't. You just can't do it. That is the overriding law of the land. Now, the movie theater operator can, of course, he could put a sign on the front and he can enforce on his property that I can't bring a gun into his movie theater. But you, the government, you, the people, cannot stop me from doing that. That just is the truth. No arguing about it. Don't try to argue with me that you can stop me from doing that constitutionally, because you can't. Now, my friends on the left, I have some news for you that I don't think any of you ever think about. There is a way to fix that. We've fixed this thing before. Okay? There are two ways you can amend the Constitution of the United States, and there is a way you can amend the Constitution of the state of Missouri. Two ways, in fact. If you don't know what those two ways are, look up Article 5 of the United States Constitution. But if you seriously believe that the government ought to do something to ban or to restrict or to register or to tax or to in any way regulate or interfere with my right to keep and bear arms, then you need to fix the Constitution of the United States of America, because anything else that you try to do is a violation of the principles of this great nation. It is that simple. So get out there and get it fixed. You're going to find, if you try to do that, that a lot of people who you thought were your enemies are going to be your friends. They're going to come to the table with you finally, and they're going to settle down with you finally, and you're all going to sit down together and figure out what the gives and takes are in this thing. You're going to figure out together where the lines need to be drawn. Because right now, you are both standing on your own side saying, I get to draw the line. You've both agreed that a line needs to be drawn, and you're both standing there saying, but I get to draw the line. And I am telling you that the one thing that can get you together with your friends on the right is for you to quit trying to circumvent the Constitution of the United States of America and fix it. Fix it. When you get rolling with a constitutional amendment, your opponents on the far right will be rushing, running into each other, trying to get through the door to talk with you and come up with a joint solution on where the line should be drawn. Because brother and sisters on the left, they think a line needs to be drawn too. We've been through that. They believe that something needs to be done about this problem too. Everyone I talk to that runs for office believes something needs to be done about this problem. And they were all grassroots conservative patriots who walk around saying, I believe in the Second Amendment. The NRA has endorsed me because I believe in the Second Amendment. The NRA is my friend because I believe in the right to bear arms. And they do. And they do. But most of you do too. It's just that they don't want to be put on the spot like you have put yourself on the spot as to where that line should be drawn. You know, you ask one the vague question like, can I build an atomic bomb in my basement? And every one of them says no. So they don't really believe I have an unrestricted right to bear arms. You ask 90% of them, if I should be able to walk down the street with a flak jacket on and hand grenades hanging from it to protect myself, and 90% of them will say no. So they want to draw lines too. They don't really believe I have an unrestricted right to bear arms. If you ask almost every one of them if I should be able to drive a Sherman tank down Main Street as long as I put rubber wheels on it and don't tear up the street, they're going to say no. So they don't believe I have an unrestricted right to bear arms. So get moving, you on the left. Quit trying to beat the Constitution of the United States of America. Come to grips with the fact that the Constitution of the United States of America makes them right. Make a move to fix the Constitution, and you will find your friends on the right rushing to the table to negotiate with you on where the line should be drawn. It really is that simple. So here we are, all coming together after James Holmes walks into a theater with three incredibly dangerous weapons and kills a whole lot of people and injures a whole lot of people. And all we can do is fall back to our old ways of, we got to do something to get rid of all these guns. We've got to do something to get rid of guns. And the NRA is my friend because I believe in the Second Amendment and an unrestricted right to bear arms. When neither of us means what we're saying, and we all just can't find the way to get to the table. That's my take. If you've got a different take, you call in at 347-677-1835. I'm going to blog on this tomorrow. I waited until some time had passed before I got into this subject. So if you missed tonight's show, or if you're hearing it on the podcast, go to MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org, find the blog and make your comments. I will converse with you there as easily as I'll converse with you here. On Mondays and Thursdays, we do the Hour of Truth. We're winding down now toward the primary election. I won't do as many candidate interviews after the primary because, as I've said from the very start, after the primary, it's a no-brainer for us unless we're Ron Paul fans, and then I guess it never ends. I don't know. I have absolutely no idea when it ever ends for those people. But for most of us who have a civil brain in our head, when it's over, it's over. For our election, which is the election where we choose a candidate. After that, for most of us, it's a no-brainer. I'm saying that if Billy Long goes against Claire McCaskill, I would vote for Billy Long. I'd hate to. Well, Billy Long's not going to go against Claire McCaskill, but I couldn't find one of the three who is more evil than the other. So I picked Billy Long's name out of a hat. So it really is a no-brainer for us. Tuesday night is our election. And so I say all that as a preface to the fact that I'm going to spend a lot less time talking to candidates and a lot more time talking about these issues when this is all over. And so with that in mind, I quite likely will pare the hour and a half of truth back down to the hour of truth, and we'll just deal with issues. We have three or four ballot initiatives headed up for the November election. We will be done with Amendment 2, please vote no, next Tuesday. Amendment 2 is going to be on the ballot next Tuesday. It is known as the school prayer or the protection of prayer or the free prayer amendment. It is anything but that. It is a religious establishment amendment. Please vote no. This thing's going to pass by 71% because at least 71% of the people in the state of Missouri want to establish, well, no, that's not true. At least 50% of the people on this side, on the patriot side, want to establish a religion. They don't want to call it that. They don't want you to know that's what it is. They don't want it to be as dirty as establishing a religion, but they do in fact want a Christian minister to be able to pray in public meetings, and they are going to cry foul when anyone but a Christian prays in a public meeting. And so it is an establishment of religion. I am also against it because of the ballot language. Go read the blog at Missouri Grassroots Coalition .org, MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org, and find the blog entitled Pot Meat Kettle to read about how atrocious the ballot language is on this Amendment 2. Please vote no on Amendment 2, and that is going to be on your ballot Tuesday along with the candidates that you will or won't send to the November general election on the Republican, on the Patriot side, because I'm not voting for Republicans in some of these races. I'm voting for at least one Constitution candidate. So I just won't. I won't try to tinker with the Republicans' primary by even casting a vote in that race, because that would be no less egregious than a Democrat coming over and asking for a Republican ballot so he could throw the race. So there we are. That's Mondays and Thursdays at 7 o'clock. Tuesdays, Vaughn Carriker comes along with her Show Me Common Sense Hour. Very entertaining. Vaughn is very learned, very knowledgeable about the subjects with which she deals. She's a bright attorney from Farmington, and she deals with a lot of legal aspects, a lot of family issues. She's a family lawyer. So she deals with a lot of family issues, legal or otherwise. For example, she just has done a show on foster children and the state of the foster care system in Missouri, which wasn't totally legal or about the law as about the system. And then on Wednesday along comes Lisa Payne Nager with the Culture Vigilante Hour. Lisa has frequent guests, Tom Martz, running for a legislative seat, by the way, this time around, and a member of Locke and Smith, a member of the executive or of the legislative committee at Locke and Smith, and they talk frequently about Yankee Doodle legislation. If you don't know what that is, tune in Wednesday night and find out. Another frequent guest of hers is Gretchen Logue, who is the education watchdog. And then there are frequently other education issues there. Lisa is a homeschool mom who pens a blog called Homeschool United and writes frequently about subjects to include homeschooling for the Examiner, Political Buzz. And so she also has a segment almost every week called the Patriot Spotlight, where she picks one of your groups out there and spotlights you and your activity, your calendars, what you're all about, what your key issues are. So if you'd like your group to be a member of the Patriot Spotlight, drop us a line at info@MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. And let us know that you'd like your group to be spotlighted in the Patriot Spotlight. And I'm sure Lisa, I'm sure I know for a fact Lisa would accommodate you on that. I mean, unless you're the Ku Klux Klan or something, then she certainly wouldn't. You'd have to be a patriot. If you're the Ku Klux Klan, you're not. And then on Friday, really, really fun time with the Missouri Grassroots Radio Roundtable. Last week we talked about Amendment 2. I think we're going to let that die. I haven't gotten together with Lisa and Vaughn and maybe Mike to find out what we're going to deal with tomorrow night. So tune in and find out. We'll post some ads as the day goes through at Missouri Grassroots Radio on Facebook, and we'll tweet them out. If you aren't following us on Twitter, you need to do that, Missouri Grass on Twitter. And there's a limit to the number of letters we can have in our name, so we're just Missouri Grass on Twitter. No, that's not true. Missouri Grassroots. Missouri Grassroots on Twitter. That's pretty much a wrap on what we're doing here. We talked tonight about some pretty important stuff, some stuff that's pretty controversial. I'm really surprised we didn't get some calls. I hope that that wasn't a function of the fact that we didn't have our microphone plugged in for the first 9 minutes of the show, and so people just thought we'd all died here and tuned out. I can see by looking at the numbers listening right now that is not the case, and so I don't know why no one has called in. But that's it. That's going to be a wrap for tonight. Come back tomorrow for the roundtable. We'll have a feisty discussion. And until next time, this is Dave. This is Missouri Grassroots Radio Network. You've been listening to the Hour of Truth and Gun Control. Missouri Grassroots Radio is brought to you by the Missouri Grassroots Coalition, a cooperative of independent Missouri groups whose aim is to restore constitutional government. Visit us at MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org, check out our Facebook page, and follow us on Twitter. You can contact us anytime at info@MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. God bless and keep you till next time we meet.